Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast, your source for all things Alabama basketball. I'm your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. You can also find me on Twitter or the X at HarperNation24 for all your Alabama basketball statistics, reporting, everything I do on Twitter is pretty much all Alabama basketball related. Now, in reference to Alabama basketball recently, it's not positive at all. And there's not much to take away that is positive from the game that was Saturday in Rupp Arena against number 17 ranked Kentucky, where Alabama lost 117-95. Yes, you heard me right if you didn't watch the game. If you lived under a rock for the past 2 days, Kentucky scored 117 against Alabama. Now, some of you that follow Alabama basketball really closely probably know that you're not super surprised that they scored over 100, if over 105 in this game. The over-under was ridiculous. I believe it ended up being about 178, opened up at nearly 180, which I think is the largest over-under in college basketball since, I believe, 2019. It was a Villanova game, which is still Villanova's the best offensive team I've ever seen in my lifetime in that 2019 season. But everybody knew this was going to be a track meet. Both teams have top 15 offenses. Both teams have really bad defenses. Before the game, Alabama was ranked 72nd in KenPom in defensive efficiency, and Kentucky was near 100. So that lets you know that Alabama and Kentucky do not defend. Now, Kentucky's gotten a lot better recently in SEC play, but still, historically, over the course of the season, Kentucky has been really bad. But on Saturday night, Kentucky just could not miss. And when you have a unstoppable force that meets a very movable object, this is the kind of outcome that you get. Now, Alabama played really well early on. Alabama was actually leading this game 29-28 with 10 minutes left in the first half. So halfway through the first half, Alabama was up 29-28. They were shooting it well. They did have a lot of turnovers in that first 10 minutes. I believe they had 4 or 5 turnovers the first 10 minutes overall. They ended up with 16 in total, which is not good, to say the least, especially on the road against a defense that really doesn't turn teams over. They typically hang around the 7 to 9 turnovers forced per game in conference play. Now, this was a game that was super fast-paced, so you probably had some erratic basketball at times, but Kentucky only having 10 turnovers overall, and it seemed like most of those came late in the game when it was way out of hand, shows how efficient they were overall. Now, Alabama was just giving them the ball, seemed like early in the game. They were just taking one too many dribbles, one to two too many passes each possession. They were passing up three-pointers that were open that are very unlike this Alabama team. Mark Sears did it 2 or 3 times where he would pass up an open three to where he had a pretty decent in-rhythm three and instead put it on the floor, took it too deep, didn't have much available to him once he got to the basket, and then tried to throw it, thread the needle somewhere, and then threw it away and let Kentucky get out in transition, which is where they're super dangerous. Mark Sears did that several times. Aaron Estrada did as well. Nick Pringle couldn't catch a lob 2 or 3 possessions in the first half that led out to, you know, either a block or a run out. And that's just not the efficient Alabama offense that we're used to seeing. Now, they did finish with 95 points, but only 42 in the first half. I know only 42 sounds crazy. But as well as they shot this game, they shot nearly 60% overall. shot 35% from three. And we'll kind of jump into these numbers here in a second. But for an Alabama team that's number one in offensive efficiency, to shoot 57% and only score 95 is very surprising. Because a lot of times they'll score 95 or 100 shooting under 50%. It's just the amount of possessions that they did not have because of all the turnovers. And a lot of Kentucky's points were off of those turnovers. So give credit to Kentucky. They played an incredible game, shooting over 63% overall, 54% from three, had 29 points off of turnovers. I mean, they did everything right, and Alabama did most everything wrong. And when you have a game like that against a team that has multiple NBA lottery picks or draft picks overall to come in next year's draft on the road, this is the kind of result you get. So let's kind of dive into the numbers for this game. Alabama shot 56%. Kentucky shot 63%. So it was scoring fast. I mean, it was efficient offense that you love to see in a college basketball game. Kentucky took seven more three-pointers than Alabama. That rarely ever happens in an Alabama basketball game. I was doing a lot of research this past week, and I can't remember if I tweeted it or not, or posted it. But the three lowest three-point attempted games for Alabama, two of them came against Iona, and one of them came against UConn last year, where there were 16 three-pointers attempted in those games. I mean, that's unheard of. Alabama typically always gets up at least 20 a game, typically 25 or more. When they shoot less than that, that lets you know that their offense is not being very efficient. And it's crazy because it really was on Saturday night. But it's not who they are. They don't win games if they don't get a lot of three-pointers up. It's not live by the three, die by the three. Obviously not here because they didn't shoot a lot of threes. They still didn't do well. It's not like they shot terribly from three. 35% is not bad at all. But they really need more action from the three because it makes them more one-dimensional, and it makes it easier to guard them. And Kentucky did a very good job of running Alabama off the three-point line, which is what Coach Calipari said in the post-game press conference, that's what they were wanting to do. They were wanting to run Alabama off the three-point line, make them one-dimensional, make them beat them with twos, and they didn't think that Alabama could. And goes to show that they could not. Now, a lot of that did have to do with Kentucky's offensive outburst that they had, hitting 13 of 24 threes, which is insane, especially for this Kentucky team. This Kentucky team's a really good three-point shooting team, the best in the conference. But it's only been a few times that they've hit this many threes all year. And we'll kind of get into some of the individual statistics here in a second, but Justin Edwards had hit the game of his life, and he's a lottery pick, projected lottery pick. He hadn't had close to this good of a game all year, but he was absolutely on fire Saturday. Free throw line, Alabama was 77%, shot 27 attempts. Kentucky was 84, shot 26, so right, pretty even right there. The rebounding battle, 28 to 26, which is an insanely low amount of rebounds. But for this game, not many players missed. So there wasn't many rebounding opportunities. Kentucky had 24 assists on 41 made shots. That lets me know that Kentucky was getting whatever they wanted pretty much off their initial offense or their initial passes. So everything was open, in rhythm, and they were knocking them down. Alabama had 14 assists on 34 shots, so they weren't bad there. But Kentucky was just that much better in that aspect. Alabama dominated the paint 56-44, which was kind of surprising that they had that many paint points. But when you're not shooting that many threes, that's you're getting a lot more opportunities in the lane. And they were really doing a really good job. And I thought they did very well considering the amount of length and athleticism that Kentucky had on the inside and Uwenzo and Big Z inside, who did get some blocks. But finishing that well with them inside is very impressive. And then I kind of already went over the points off turnovers, where Kentucky had 29 to Alabama's 10. I mean, that's plus 19 there. The total difference was 22. I'm not a mathematician, but that's majority of the points right there. And Kentucky could have scored more. Let's not get that twisted. They could have scored more. They kind of pulled it back at the end. But Alabama played really well in the second half, I thought. Played a lot better in the second half, especially late in the last 10 minutes. They were scoring like at will. They were playing more better defense. I mean, they were close. Kentucky was close to scoring 100 with 10 minutes left in the half, and they only finished with 117. I know, only finished with 117, but still 17 points in the final 10 minutes. They did play better, but you kind of have to wonder how hard Kentucky went at that point. Kind of go into some of the individual statistics. We'll start with Alabama. Mark Sears had 20. Rylan Griffin had 21. They were a huge part. They're the only players that shot double-digit shot attempts in the game, so they were getting their shots up. Rylan Griffin did not have a good day from three, only making 2 of 8. And Mark Sears had a pretty efficient game as well. 6 of 11, 2 of 2 from three, 6 of 6 from free throw line. Not much else you could ask for Mark Sears, but he was very hesitant. Typically, he'll get up about 5 to 6 threes a game. He only got up 2. He passed up a lot. He was very passive and wasn't as aggressive as he typically is. 11 shots for Mark Sears on the day is just not enough for Alabama. Grant Nelson had 13 points, 7 rebounds. He was 4 of 5 from the field, 5 of 8 from the free throw line, so kind of uncharacteristic from the line for him. Aaron Estrada was at 13 points. He was very passive, seemed very timid. I thought he didn't have a very good game overall, even though he did finish with 7 rebounds and 5 assists. Mo Diabate was a bright spot. He only played 12 minutes, ended up with 12 points, and on 5 of 6 shooting, I thought he played pretty decent defense as well. He was very active. Nick Pringle finished with 11 points, 4 rebounds on 5 of 7 of shooting. He was very active early. Once they realized that Jaren Stevenson was not going to be a big factor early on, they ran a lot of lob plays. They ran the same lob play off a high pick and roll, and it was open majority of the time. And Pringle got a few lob dunks off of it. But there were a few times where he just didn't time it right. The lob wasn't great. He dropped the ball twice. I don't know what he was doing a couple times going up for it. It was very confusing. But he was a big part of the offense early on that kind of kept it close. But he was also a big reason why they couldn't extend the lead early on, because there was probably about 6 to 8 points left out there in the first 15 minutes off those lob plays or finishing underneath. So those were the only guys that finished in double figures. Jaren Stevenson only had 5 points, and then Walsters, who looked absolutely lost and outmatched in this game. He could not do anything, finished with 0. And then Davin Cosby played a little bit, didn't score at all either. So moving down to Kentucky, it's obviously going to be a packed box score for them. Justin Edwards was the star of the show, had 28 points, 10 of 10 from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, and 4 of 4 from 3. This cat was, literally pun intended, this cat was a 30% three-point shooter on the year. Wasn't a big three-point threat. Ended up 4 of 4. That's the kind of day it went. Rob Dillingham had a shot. He finished with 16 points, had a decent game. He finished with a shot that bounced on the top of the backboard a couple times and then rolled right in. And once I saw that happen early on, I just knew something crazy was about to happen in this game, because when shots like that fall, when you're on the road and you see that fall for the home team, you know you're probably in for a long night. And sure enough, that was the case. Antonio Reeves, who has been awesome this year, he's an incredible player. He finished with 24 points, 5 assists, on 7 of 10 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3. And then Big Z, Zvonimir Avisic, 18 points, 7-11 from the field. When he's doing that against you, might as well hang it up, because he's been pretty much useless for Kentucky since he came up, outside of his first game. I believe it was against South Carolina. I can't remember who it was against, earlier in the season, of conference play, where he had like 13 points in 10 minutes, where he didn't miss a shot, or only missed one, and just lit the world on fire. And everybody thought he was going to be the next big thing. And then he just disappeared. Teams just kind of took him out of the game, and Cal couldn't keep him on the floor. He kept turning the ball over. He couldn't defend. If he's not making shots, he's not giving you much. But this game, he had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks. He was a force on that end as well. I mean, give him credit. He had a great game for Kentucky. And Coach Cal played every card right. Every card that he could play ended up working out perfectly for him. Uwenzo only had one block, which was kind of wild. Alabama got him in foul trouble early on and kind of made him a non-factor, which brought Big Z off the bench and played 20 minutes, which is a lot more than he's been playing recently. And then Reed Shepard really wasn't a factor. He had 8 points, but he was a great defender Saturday. He ended up with 4 steals, really pestered Alabama's guards, kept them off the 3-point line, did a great job there. And he played 32 minutes, which was the most of any player for Kentucky, and he came off the bench. So there's really not much more to add to this game. I will say this, though, for all Alabama fans, which is going to be everybody listening to this podcast, the sky's not falling. Everything that Alabama has ahead of them is still there. They're still in first place of the SEC. There's still a top 3 seed projected on majority of the bracket projections in the NCAA tournament. And the sky is not falling. I posted that on X not long ago. It's one game. They got destroyed by Tennessee on the road. They came back and won 4 straight games after that, and won by an average of 17 points a game. They got blown out at Auburn. They came back and won 3 in a row, winning by 16 points per game. And now they got blown out at Kentucky. If they do either of those again, win 4 in a row or 3 in a row, they're conference champions. Simple as that. I'm not saying winning that many in a row is simple. I'm just saying that Alabama can do this, and they've shown that they can come back from losing this bad on the road against a really good team. Now, I understand the critiques that Alabama hasn't beaten a great team on the road, and I agree, they have not. But they've played really well against some teams on the road outside of these 3. They played Creighton, who is about unbeatable on the road. They played them all the way down to the buzzer. Now, while it wasn't a road game, they played the number 1 overall seed, more than likely, Purdue, down to the final buzzer. Was winning by double digits majority of that game. And they played Arizona, basically on the road. really, really tough for about 30 minutes of that game. Now, they didn't play Tennessee well, they didn't play Auburn well, and they didn't play Kentucky well. Tell me a team that goes in there to those places and dominates or wins majority of the time in those arenas, because you don't. Kentucky had a few hiccups this year early on when they were really figuring out rotations in the SEC play. Auburn just lost at home against Kentucky, the same team that dominated Alabama at home for the lost for the first time in, what, nearly 2 years. Or actually since last year, excuse me. And then Tennessee rarely loses at home. They lost, I believe, one time this year at home to South Carolina. So it's not easy to win on the road, especially against great teams. Alabama's going to have to prove they can win these games, obviously, in NCAA tournament time and SEC tournament time. But right now, you just take your lumps, you learn from it, and move on, which Alabama seems to do. But they're going to have some more opportunities moving forward. Now, this team's got to get better defensively. I'm not saying a complete 180 turnaround, because that's not going to happen. It's way too late in the season for that. But they're going to have to show a little bit of pride in it if they're going to want to make it to the second weekend and beyond in the NCAA tournament, or if they want to win the SEC regular season championship. They're going to have to show a little bit of pride. I don't think the problem's effort. I think a lot of it is trying, but not caring what the result is. Oh, my guy scored on me? I'll just try to go down and make a three to make up for it. No, that's not how it should be. You should not be bringing offense into defense. It should start on the defensive end. And I was always told, and Nate Oates has said it in the past as well, you earn the right to play offense in this system by playing good defense. That's kind of what's got Sam Walters here recently a lot more playing time. He's bought into the defensive side. Is he the best defender? No, not by any means. But he's trying. And if Nate Oates sees that, he's going to reward you with more playing time. But it all starts on the defensive end if you're going to want to play. But that's kind of everything I have from the Kentucky game. Not many positives to take away from it. Not hard to find a positive, to be honest. But they did shoot the ball really well. They did score 95 points on the road, even though you gave up 117, which is insane. But offense definitely wasn't the issue. Turnovers were. Shooting was not. So you can kind of pick up the pieces there and move on to the next game, which is at Ole Miss. So let's kind of move ahead to Ole Miss. And this is a big game for Alabama if they're wanting to win the SEC championship. This is a team that's really reeling, right? Really, I don't know why I said it like that. Really on the downslide. Ole Miss seems like they've just packed it in. They're not wanting this anymore. Chris Beard is going to start getting talked about as potential replacements for other head coaching jobs. I can see Arkansas being one if Eric Musselman leaves for, say, Louisville. And it just seems like they're just kind of cashing it in. And they're on the NCAA bubble big time. They're probably not in right now. And they really need wins. And they've lost four of their last five. Their only win was at home by three against winless Missouri, 79-76, about a week ago. And they're just not playing good ball. Alan Flanagan's probably their best defender, best rebounder. And he's more than likely going to get suspended for this game tomorrow. The game's not tomorrow, but he will more than likely get suspended for basically throwing a UFC-style elbow slash punch going down the court, I mean, just in the open, didn't even try to hide it. And he absolutely should get suspended if Muhammad Waghee, who got suspended this past game, got suspended for what he did. It's basically the same thing. Except Waghee, you can kind of somewhat explain, not really, but you can somewhat say, you know, he fell and leaned his elbow into the guy. This Flanagan didn't try to hide it. So if he's out, I already expected Alabama to win this game. But if he's out, then I don't see an avenue that Ole Miss can stop Alabama. Alabama's going to have to stop themselves to not win this game. Because Ole Miss cannot score very well. They average about 75 points a game, give up 72 points a game. So they're not very good on really either. I mean, if you want to say they hang their hat on something, it's going to be for defense. But overall, Alabama should definitely not have problems with this team. They should not. And if they win this game, it's likely going to come down to March the 2nd on Saturday with College Game Day in town against number 5 ranked Tennessee for the SEC Championship. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Tennessee destroyed Alabama in Knoxville earlier in conference play. Wasn't pretty at all. Alabama just got bully balled around. They're gonna have to bring their hard hat and lunch pail to that game. And they're gonna have to match Tennessee's toughness, physicality, and all while trying to run very efficient elite offense that they typically do. Can they do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Alabama's actually had a lot of success in recent years against Tennessee at home. Not so much on the road, but at home, Alabama's had Tennessee's number since Nate Oates has gotten the job. So basically how it stands now in the SEC, Alabama and Tennessee are tied at 11-3. South Carolina and Auburn are tied for third and fourth at 10-4. Then you got Florida and Kentucky at 9-5. Ole Miss, who is Alabama's next opponent, is 6-8. And I mentioned they lost 4 of their last 5. So they are reeling, and Alabama's going to need to take advantage of kind of where they're sliding at and really bury them. Because Alabama cannot afford to lose this game. Since winning at Kentucky was going to be a luxury, and it's just going to be icing on the cake for them. And since they didn't, which it wasn't expected, winning at Ole Miss is expected. Winning at Florida is not expected, but winning at Ole Miss is expected. If they win 3 of their next 4 with that one loss being at Florida, Alabama's going to be SEC champions. At worst, a share of SEC champions. At worst. Tennessee plays Auburn this week at home. So that's going to be a very interesting game of where you need to put your rooting interest. In my opinion, if you're an Alabama fan, you should be rooting for Tennessee to beat Auburn just because that keeps it Alabama and Tennessee and it doesn't allow Auburn to creep in. Because if Auburn beats Tennessee and Alabama ends up losing to Florida later on, if Auburn beats Tennessee, they're going to win out and they're going to finish at 14-4 and probably get a share of the SEC title. If they lose, they're going to drop out to 5 and be pretty much out of it. But if Tennessee wins, it keeps it at where it's kind of heading towards, which is going to be a Tennessee-Alabama battle. South Carolina is probably going to lose one or two more games down the stretch. They have a really tough schedule. And a big game coming up as well is going to be Tennessee at South Carolina, a game that Alabama really needs South Carolina to pull out, as well as lose one or two more on their schedule. So they're still, while there's only four games left for every team, there's still a lot of different things that can happen. And one of those things that can happen that's unforeseen is Alabama slipping up at Ole Miss, which they cannot allow to happen. Now, that's really all I have for this episode. I know I'm a day late. I typically release an episode the night of when the game occurred, but I had a lot of family stuff going on that evening, and I wasn't able to get to it. But glad I could hop on Sunday night. It's currently 10:49 Central Time, Sunday night, February 25th, and we're about to get into the last 2 weeks of the season. 3 weeks from tonight, or today, we will have an NCAA bracket. That's super exciting to think about. It can be nerve-wracking, but really just enjoy the process. Enjoy these last 2 weeks of this team in regular season, and then enjoy the conference tournaments and the NCAA tournaments, which is the most exciting time of the sports season, of any sport, in my opinion. But I appreciate everyone listening to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast, your source of all things Alabama basketball. I'm your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24. Please go follow me, like, and subscribe to this podcast, and leave a rating. I hope it's a 5-star rating, but rate it however you please. And I appreciate every one of you listening to another episode. Until next time, I'll release another episode after the Ole Miss game on February 28th. Till next time, adios.